This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. After 2 weeks off, I am back in studio. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by the Lurch Pappy Jason Bishop.
Yeah, welcome back, John Paul Flame.
Valdez, play the music. We have to play it early and often throughout the show. What an incredible game.
Play the music. Play the music, Washington.
Commanders, as they beat the Philadelphia Eagles 36-33. A game of so many swings, but another comeback win for Jaden Daniels and this Washington Commanders team that hits a record of 10-5 for the first time since 1991, Jason Bishop.
Long time ago, man.
1991. We were just getting our first drinks, becoming legal.
And there was, I mean, look, there were so many storylines from this game, and we'll try and touch all of them today. But it's a fun game to watch, man, no doubt. 100%. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of key plays, a lot of, you know, obviously injuries played a role, penalties played a role. But Jaden Daniels was spectacular in the second half.
That's the biggest storyline. Jaden Daniels, 5 touchdown passes, also had just huge, huge runs. We were just talking about it before we jumped on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can debate what was the biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say the DeVonta Smith catch. At the time, I mean, the drop.
Yeah.
But if DeVonta Smith catches that,
he had one drop the entire year,
the Commanders likely don't get the ball back and they don't win the game.
Right.
So at the time, I tweeted out, was that the biggest play of the game? But in reality, the biggest play of the game is a touchdown pass to Jameson Crowder, which
the
wins
game
at the end.
Yeah.
But then if you go back, there are so many huge plays. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. That 4th-and-11 call in the third quarter.
End of the
third. I think a lot of coaches punt right there because there's so much game ahead of you, and it's 4th-and-11. It's not 4th-and-2.
Yeah, 4th-and-11.
4th-and-11.
That's a ballsy call when you're down a couple scores.
It's 27-14 at the time.
Yep.
You know, plenty of game left ahead of you. Conventional wisdom, punt the football, pin him in, defense, you're facing Kenny Pickett now. You get the ball back. But instead, they go for it, and Jaden has an incredible scramble.
I think that's just how much confidence they have in him. Yeah, they call it a pass play, but if he doesn't find anybody, he's just so good at avoiding sacks, and he's just elusive. So it was ballsy, and I couldn't believe it when he was doing it. But obviously, it turned out to be positive for them. But yeah, there were so many plays to talk about. And look, the biggest play could have been when Hurts got the concussion.
No doubt about it. It changed.
That was
the complexion
huge.
Of the game.
It was a complete change in complexion of this game. But
now, Kenny Pickett could have won it if DeVonta Smith catches it.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett made some plays, but you saw Saquon Barkley bottled up thereafter.
Of course,
because the defense,
they put extra guys in the box. Yeah,
could just focus, and you always focus on stopping Saquon Barkley, but they could really focus on stopping Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the threat of the run from the quarterback. You don't have the threat of the quarterback sneak. I saw Greg Olsen put some messages out. But all that said,
but hold on, let me just say
they scored 36 points against the team that held the Ravens to 13.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
The Ravens, we just watched them play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lamar Jackson was on point. Derrick Henry was on point. That offense was held to 13 points by the Philadelphia Eagles. That Philadelphia Eagles defense had been stifling all season long. So We will talk about all the storylines from Marshawn Lattimore to the running game to B-Rob having a couple of fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest storyline is Jaden Daniels. They overcame five turnovers, Jason, and put up 36 points against the Eagles.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you go, all right, you're going to turn the ball over five times, really? And you're going to be down 14-0 in the first 10 minutes? You're going to get blown out 41-10. But then to see what happened in the second half, especially the fourth quarter. I know. Hey, look, the NFL, it's just unpredictable. Sports are unpredictable. Crazy things can happen, and it certainly did yesterday. When you turn the ball over five times, especially against a team like that, you should lose 99% of the time. But it just didn't happen that way. And that was just a huge, huge win, and it puts them in position to clinch a playoff spot if they can beat the Falcons on Sunday.
I saw somebody tweeted us this morning. You can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can call in at 800-636-1067. Somebody tweeted us this morning, Cliff's Cliff. Remember that narrative? Remember the storyline that the second half of the season, Cliff's offensive struggle?
Yeah.
You can put that storyline to bed. It's done. They put up 36 points against the Eagles. I can't stress this enough.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles had the best defense in the league in some statistics.
Yep.
Easily a top five defense.
Points allowed.
And I understand they had a couple guys who were banged up. End of the day, they scored 36 points with the five turnovers. Imagine if they didn't have those fumbles.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Imagine if they didn't have those interceptions.
Philadelphia's defense in the second half was really sloppy. I know that's the word everyone's kind of using. Their secondary wasn't as good as I thought they would be. And Jaden took advantage of it. Not just throwing the ball, but running the ball. I mean, he finished with how many rush yards did he finish with it? 90? 85?
Jaden Daniels had 9 runs for 81 yards.
81 yards. So, I mean, you put that, you combine that with what he did through the air. He had 330 combined yards with the 5 touchdowns. It was just a massive, massive game. A great win for them. And then going forward, who knows what's going to happen with the Eagles, because we have no idea how bad the concussion was for Hurts. I thought he was going to come back in the game. It looked like he was. He had his helmet on, but then they told him, no, you got to come back. They took him back into the locker room, did some more exams, and he was out for the game, and that completely changed what they could do offensively. Because remember, when he was in the game, before he got hurt, he had rushed for 41 yards on 3 carries in 10 minutes. I mean, he was on pace for well over 100 yards rushing. Kenny Pickett comes in there and gets 13 yards rushing. So that was a huge weapon to take off the field for the Eagles.
But no question about it.
But Jaden was, he was awesome in that second half. He really was.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Again, 800-636-1067 is the number. But you're talking about a 10-5 team, Jason.
I know. Yeah.
This team won 4 games last year.
Incredible turnaround. Incredible turnaround. And the fact that they are more than likely going to the playoffs. You know, everyone talks about the coach of the year candidates as being, you know, the guys who have the best records, whether it's going to be Andy Reid or Campbell or Sirianni, whoever, McDermott. But I really believe that Quinn's got to get some votes. Probably won't win it, but the fact that they had 4 wins last year, they were dead last in turnovers. They were one of the worst, if not the worst, in point differential. Then they come in, they completely overhaul the roster. I don't know, 50% of the roster is different. Completely different coaching staff besides one guy, maybe two if you include Kerrigan. And they got 10 wins and probably going to get at least 11, maybe 12, who knows, and going to the playoffs. So, yeah, it was a huge turnaround. And props to Dan Quinn and props to Adam Peters for putting them in this place, because their roster, even though it doesn't look great on paper, especially when you compare it to a team like the Eagles, they are getting it done.
Play the music again, Valdez. We got to play it early and often. I saw Lewis Riddick put out a tweet, and it really just emphasizes what we see every week almost from Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can't be emphasized enough, but Lewis Riddick, who's actually vying to be a GM in the league,
right,
interviewing with the Jets. Of course, you know him from ESPN. He He writes, a lot of you forgot just how bottomed out and sorry Washington was.
No, we didn't.
What is going on in that town, ignited by Jaden Daniels, the man and the player, is a effing unique happening. He is putting the entire organization on his back as a rookie and kicking nothing but ass week after week as a rookie, playing the hardest position in football and sports, and it isn't like he has the best roster in the NFL surrounding him. To downplay it in any way, what he's doing is pure ignorance. A quarterback can completely change the trajectory of the team. I know that we've argued, well, how much is Cliff Kingsbury the reason for their offensive success? Cliff may be the best offense coordinator in football. You have to have a guy like Jaden Daniels under center to change the way that a franchise is received, really.
Yeah.
Like, this team, for the next decade plus, as long as Jaden Daniels is here, they're going to be a playoff contender. There'll be ups and downs. Look, C.J. Stroud was great last year.
Yep.
This year, he's okay.
That could happen
with Jaden Daniels.
I mean, they're going to the playoffs.
But you have a chance when you have a guy like this. As nice as of a guy that Sam Howell was, if Sam Howell was under center with Cliff Kingsbury, this team wouldn't be 10-5.
Agreed.
I mean, there's just no chance.
I mean, no one's going to debate that. But the fact that he's been so... I mean, you watch a bunch of these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks, and they just get alarmed when they're in the pocket under pressure, and they scoot out of the pocket a little sooner than they want to or should, and then they scoot out of the pocket or throw the ball a little sooner than they should. But yesterday... And look, Jaden had some mistakes. He threw two bad picks. The second one could have cost him. It didn't, but he had some mistakes. He had some rookie mistakes. But for the most part, he just looked like he was just so comfortable in the pocket. And then when he was forced to do something, either run or throw it, he was making smart decisions, especially when he was able to run. He was just so elusive. I mean, Carter had him sacked for a 7-yard loss that one play. And he's just, you know, he's just so much quicker than that guy. Just takes one little juke move and he's going to get 10 yards.
Yes.
And you already talked about the 4th and 11. That was massive.
Massive decision. Massive play. Let's go right to the phones. A lot of people are fired up. It is Victory Monday here on the Junkies, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. You can visit careerswithmios.com.
And let me just say this real quick before we go to the first call. Drabby, first of all, hello, Matt and Matt. Is Mike back there? Mike's not there. Hello, Matt and Matt. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Christmas week. But at least we don't have Bickle asking Drab, hey, Drabby, is he elite now? Is he elite?
Well, we probably have to on his behalf.
You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that from me, Drabby.
I appreciate that.
So he's off this week, so you don't have to answer that question.
There's no chance I change my mind or give you an answer at 6 a.m. on December 23rd without Bickle here. But Jaden's had a fantastic game, special game.
Yep.
That Commander fans will remember forever. Fantastic season. I'm glad that everyone's fired up. It's awesome to see the city on fire like this.
Yeah.
Let's go to Alex in Ashton to lead us off. Alex, you're on with the Junkies on a Victory Monday. What's going on?
Beautiful, beautiful, guys.
What's up?
Oh, man, this is a team win. You can't just point out one thing, how we won and everything else. But the main thing, of course, just like you guys mentioned, JD5. Man, I was in a church with my sweater, my Commander sweater, my socks, and, of course, my Redskins winter hat. And then one of the brothers come up while we was loading, and he goes, hey, brother, it doesn't look good. We're losing 14-0. I said, don't sweat it. We slow starters, but it's going to be a dogfight.
Uh-huh.
I said, so don't worry. He said, look, if we win, man, I'm going to go get me a jersey and this and that. So I hope you're listening, brother. You got to go get this jersey, like you mentioned.
Were in church, so you didn't even see the opening kickoff in the first quarter. You were in church.
None of that. I was in church. I didn't know none of that, but I know my team. I know they're slow starters, but when we have the coaching team and JD5, Wagner, the leaders, Lou Vu, doing his thing and everybody else contributing, and it's not an ego thing. It's all about a win, 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 and let's get this win. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to let you guys take all the callers and keep playing that music. Play that music.
All right, buddy.
Really is amazing, too, that there was a period of time in the third quarter, Fox put up the graphic. I'm going to see if I have the exact graphic, but The Eagles had the ball for 10 minutes, and the Commanders had the ball for like 21 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the third quarter, all right, halftime it's 21-14. You're only down a score, which you're very fortunate because, you know, you start the game, you're down 14-0. Eagles look like they're just rolling through the Commanders' defense, even with Kenny Pickett under center. They have that missed field goal at the end of the half. It was a long, long one, but
yeah,
end 21-14.
Yep.
So then the Eagles get the ball, go six plays. Commanders hold them to a field goal, 69 yards, 24-14, 10-point game.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a fumble,
mm-hmm.
one of the, you know, the third fumble. Eagles go 14 plays, but again held to a field goal on
right.
an eight-minute drive.
Yep.
It's 27-14, but at that point, it just feels like, hey, the Eagles' offense is just too much, even with Kenny Pickett. They're controlling the clock. It's going to be hard for Washington, which is why I think they went for it on that 4th and 11. I mean, nobody goes for it on 4th and 11
at the end of the game.
Third quarter?
Not at that point in the game.
So just a massive, massive play.
And that was the difference in the second half, because when Philly was kicking field goals, even though they had the ball a bunch of times, Washington was able to score touchdowns because they were just that much more explosive with Jaden than with Kenny Pickett with Philly. So in the fourth or in the second half, the Eagles kicked four field goals. Well, Washington scored three touchdowns, even though they turned the ball over a couple times in the second half. So that was the difference. And you talk about the Devontae Smith drop. By the way, Devontae Smith had one drop the entire year before yesterday. He just has sure hands. And it's not even like he took his eyes off the ball. He just dropped it. I don't know if that was the cold or what, whatever. But he just dropped the ball. And
he even had a second chance to catch it. He dropped it with his hands, and then he could have basket caught it. I mean, it's quick. But
and that was at the two-minute warning.
Maybe he thought he was going to get crushed by the safety.
He wasn't even close to him.
I'm just saying.
I think he would have walked in the end zone because he's so fast. He was going across the field. There was nobody within 5 yards of him. Now, I don't know on the backside if there was a guy who could have tackled him, but he could have easily scored there. And instead of being up five, the Eagles could have been up eight or, hold on, 33, 37. That could have been up 37 to 28. That would have been the game. And then,
yeah.
Or you're right. Maybe they just hold on to the ball, make Washington burn their timeouts, then kick a field goal, and then Washington just doesn't have time to go down and score.
Washington would have had the ball back.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gotten the ball back.
Yeah. So,
because that's a first down.
Either way, they probably would have lost that game. So that was a huge, huge drop for Devontae Smith. But the fact that Jaden was able to go right down the field and score with 6 seconds left was huge.
But the success of the Commanders on fourth down and the aggression of the team because of that success, I'm going to go back, like I said, there's so many plays you can point out to as the biggest play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is that drop.
Mm-hmm.
But that 4th and 11, I keep going back to it, man. It's in the third quarter with 19 seconds left. You're on Philadelphia's 41,
mm-hmm.
4th and 11. All that game ahead, and you decide to go for it. And then Jaden Daniels rips off a 29-yard scramble.
Yeah. I think you're
right. The biggest story is Jaden Daniels had 5 touchdowns and carried this team to a victory.
No doubt.
800-636-1067. A lot of people want to chime in. Play the music, Valdez. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show. Your reaction to the Commanders' 36-33 win over the Philadelphia Eagles. More of your calls next here on the Junkies.
McLaurin to the bottom of the screen. Second and goal. 10 seconds. Daniels fires. End zone. Touchdown. Jamison Crowder. Preposterous. 5 turnovers. And the lead with seconds remaining.
He's the middle run through player. It's 2 high safeties. He's got to carry the middle. And Jamison Crowder is just going to run a simple little middle bend. And Zach Bond, for whatever reason, he just drops him and never flips his hips. And in red zone in the NFL, that's wide open.
When we talk, Greg, about how Jaden Daniels probably should get even more credit than he's getting, considering the cast that he's got. How about this today? He's got 5 touchdowns.
We'll be talking about it all morning. It is a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. With the win, Commanders 10-5, looking good for a playoff spot. Drab came in here during the break and said they can actually clinch it by Sunday night.
Because of Tampa.
Before Sunday night, so, depending on what happens next week.
So Tampa has Carolina, and then they get New Orleans both at home. So I guess if Tampa, right now Tampa is behind Atlanta for the division, for the NFC South, because Atlanta swept them. But obviously Atlanta plays here next week. Tampa plays Carolina at home. So I guess if Tampa loses to Carolina, Washington would clinch, and that's they would clinch even before they play.
10-5 for the first time since 1991. If you want to chime in on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace, visit careerswithmios.com. You can call us right now. Let's go to the phones.
All righty.
Let's go to...
Mander fans are just jacked this morning.
Pat, who is in Haymarket. Pat, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
It's nice. It's refreshing that we know we can clinch next week when last year Ron didn't even know we were eliminated.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is true.
I will tell you what, going into the season, the biggest weakness to me was probably the wide receiver. They were desperately trying to get a big guy, and we threw 5 touchdown passes. I think the most underrated in the team, the group that stepped up the most, is probably the wide receivers. They've done it by committee. We knew we had McLaurin, but we thought that Diami Brown was a cast off, and everybody stepped up.
They yeah, I mean, it helps when you've got a guy like Jaden Daniels, though, kind of getting out of the pocket. And then if you actually broke down each of the plays, I mean, we should give props to Jamison Crowder, who caught the game with a touchdown. Jamison Crowder with 2 touchdown passes, I just went and looked at it.
Yeah.
The last season he had 1. The season before that he had 0. They have resurrected Jamison Crowder. But like the second Zaccheaus touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
There actually was a penalty because the Eagles had too many players on the field.
Yep.
Well, what happened was Zaccheaus was lined up on the right side of the field where Darius Slay is the corner.
He runs off the field.
They're panicking because they've got 12 guys on the field. Slay runs off the field. So
wide open.
Oz is like, hey, throw to me.
Yeah.
Nobody's within 25 yards of him.
Yep.
And then he makes a couple nice jukes to get into the end zone.
Correct.
But
It was kind of surprising some of the mistakes that Philadelphia was making defensively, and that's a perfect example because they had been so dominant defensively the previous 10 weeks when they were winning all these games. But, I think receiver is still going to be a target in free agency and in the draft for Washington. But you're right. Zaccheaus obviously made some huge plays, and Crowder made some huge plays. McLaurin's having his best season as a wide receiver in the league with 12 touchdowns. So you're right. But again, Daniels is getting him the ball at the right time, and the offense is just more explosive for a lot of different reasons. And Kingsbury's got to get some credit for that.
I just checked the updated statistics. The Philadelphia Eagles still have the number one defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stress it enough. They put up 36 points with 5 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Against the number one defense in the league that had held the Ravens, who have arguably the most explosive offense in the league, mm-hmm. to 13 points.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just wasn't their day. And Washington got some huge, huge breaks. I still think that the Hurts injury was massive because Philadelphia's offense was totally different. They were terrible on third down after Hurts got off the field. They were 3 for 16 on third down conversions.
They were terrible on first down a lot because a lot of times they're handing the ball to Saquon on first down, and he was losing yards.
Correct. So Washington was able to focus more on Barkley, and they pointed that out during the game. They were loading up the box, and Barkley just wasn't the threat that he was when Hurts was in.
And I don't think Pickett got great help. We were talking about it during the break. Mm-hmm. I can think of 3 drops off the top of my head. I mean, obviously the biggest one is the Devontae Smith one because that could seal the game for them.
Correct.
But A.J. Brown dropped one, which maybe it wasn't the best of passes.
Wasn't a great throw.
And Lattimore got in there and kind of swatted away. But he probably should have caught that ball. I think A.J. Brown was upset that he didn't catch that ball. That would have been a first down. And then the Barkley. Saquon play.
Yeah.
Saquon kind of bobbles it. Greg Olson made a big point about it, jocking Bobby Wagner that he didn't give up on the play. Mm-hmm. But Saquon should come down with that ball. That's a big play.
It was right in his hands. 100%. You're right.
800-636-1067. Let's go out to Indian Head. Dave, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. What's up? Happy Victory Monday.
What's up, Dave?
Victory Commanders Monday.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, man. I wanted to say I'm a second-time caller. Jason, you probably remember me from last week. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big fan of the show. Happy holidays to you guys and your guys' family, man.
Likewise.
Yes, sir.
How about those Commanders, man? Any given Sunday, anything can happen. And that's what I try to tell you guys Thursday. Listen, man, I told you I was going to call back. I'm calling back. We going to the big show, man. With the regime that we got, we going to the big show, man.
I mean, anything just knocked off one of the big
Jaden
boys.
Daniels.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
I said you just knocked off one of the big boys. Like that was kind of the missing element when you would look at their resume. You know, people would easily, well,
they were
0-4. Who have you beaten?
Yeah, they were 0-4 against winning teams.
We can't beat a winning team is what they kept saying.
Yep.
And now we beat the best, one of the best winning teams with the best defense. And listen, Thursday you kept talking all this. Yeah, it's possible, but not probable, Jason.
Yep.
To the biggest Commanders hater.
No, that's
guess
not.
What?
Yeah.
Possibility beat probability once again.
You're right.
Once again, sir.
You're
here's,
right.
Here's once my again. Question
listen,
for you.
It can,
here's my question ahead. For you, Dave. Let's say they make the playoffs, which we expect them to make the playoffs, right? And they play the same Eagles team in the first round, which is possible.
And we'll
see how it happens.
In Philly, right.
We'll see how, you know, I mean, anything can happen here the last couple of weeks. You got the Vikings and the Lions battling for the one seed. The Eagles are still not out of it. So who the heck knows how this plays out here the next couple of weeks. But let's just say they play the Eagles again and they lose 36-33 instead of win. Will you call back and tell Jason you were wrong?
I'm calling back every week.
Okay.
Every week until the big show. And
right.
Either way, and Drab tried to have your back asking me a question, or whoever was on the whoever took my call in the beginning, mm-hmm. saying, "Hey, well, what will you do? What do you got in it if they do lose? If they don't go? Hey, man, regardless of anything, we had a hell of a season nobody could have thought about. We're going to the playoffs, man. We just won 4 games last year. This is something that we can be proud of. Either way,
it's an incredible turnaround.
I would agree.
I'm gonna call every week." Either
all right,
way.
Good.
Either way it goes.
I look forward to it.
I said this
thanks
earlier
for calling,
this
Dave.
Season. Remember all kind of summer long, I would bring up the Houston Texans turnaround and you guys would pile on me?
Yep.
And then I didn't stick with that when it actually came to our record prediction. I predicted 7-10 because it was just so tough going through the schedule, just imagining these wins. But this is what happens every season.
Yeah.
There's going to be a team, if not multiple teams, that nobody considered to be a playoff contender that had awful records the year before,
mm-hmm.
and then they turn it around with a quarterback. We saw that with the Texans last year, and that's what's happening this year with the Washington Commanders. I mean, there are other teams like the Minnesota Vikings. Nobody had the Vikings where they are right now with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, that is true. It is hard to just predict, all right, go from 4 wins to 10, 11, 12 wins and get to the playoffs. Very difficult. But you were on point. You said it could happen, and it looks like it is happening. But also, you can't predict some of the breaks that Washington's gotten this year with what happened with the Giants in the first game, with Neighbors dropping that ball and Gano being out, would completely change that. And then the Hail Mary. Look, the Hail Mary was just massive. And we already talked about some of the plays from yesterday, but they've just – things are happening. I don't know if you want to call it magical, but things are happening and going in the right direction for Washington week in, week out. That's helped them to elevate them to 10 wins, if not more.
800-636-1067 is the number as we're celebrating a Victory Monday. 10 Victory Mondays here on the Junkies. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on with the Junks. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning.
What's up?
Happy Victory Monday, man.
Yep.
I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Mr. Luke McCaffrey, an unsung hero.
He was big
the
yesterday.
The return man we didn't know we needed.
Yep.
Every kickoff was a massive, got past the 40, around 47 yards, 50 yards, yep. around that mark.
He averaged 31 yards per return.
Per return?
How many returns did he have?
He had six returns for 184 yards. So
that's
30,
a big storyline.
31 per, that's a big one.
And
his longest was 47.
Their kicker doesn't kick it out of the end zone.
I know.
So they had really good field position on most of these drives.
Good point. Go ahead, bro.
Man, if he was short on any of those, especially with the 5 turnovers,
mm-hmm.
man, different storyline. That's all I'm saying, man. Luke McCaffrey, flowers, man. Obviously, JD5 did his thing. I just wanted to give a huge shout-out to Luke, man. We see you, baby.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, and then Luke, you know, if you look at some of these advanced metrics, they say – it's not showing up in the receptions, but they say he has one of the greatest separations in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the interception, the second interception, which could have been a dagger, because Jaden's trying to make a play, it's third down, he's rolling to his right, Luke McCaffrey's open.
Yep.
And Jaden sees him open, but he's throwing across his body. It's a tough play downfield.
Yeah.
Luke's going to be an impactful player probably for years for this team.
That was look, he was huge. I mean, to average 31 per return and put them in good field position. They really did have a great field position for most of the game. But like you said, the fact that Jaden throws that pick when it's 30-28 and gives the ball to Philly at the 27-yard line, with 3 minutes to go, the fact that they were able to overcome that, force the field goal instead of the touchdown, Devontae's drop was massive, and then go right down the field to score, it was just, it was incredible.
But I'm glad he brought up McCaffrey, because they did have good field position, and in the last drive, when every second counts, and we saw that because they scored with barely any time left in the game, they started on the 43-yard line.
Yep.
And that was partly because there was a penalty. The Eagles had a bunch of penalties. So did the Commanders.
Nine penalties.
The emotion on Lattimore.
Yes.
You know, big pass interference calls. We'll talk about Marshon Lattimore a little bit later. But in the end, Valdez, keep playing the music. People are fired up. Commanders are 10-5. They get the win. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Should mention we got our pal John Keim from ESPN joining us at 7 o'clock. Our colleague check-in at 8:20 with Grant Paulson and Nate Davis, NFL writer for USA Today at 9:20. Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
Today he became a heavy hitter. He really did. In a difficult game of a turnover margin that goes against you, you're down. This is a really good defense. The run game was hard for us today to get going. And so, you know, turnovers and, you know, missteps that'll happen along the way, to know that, you know, at the end, you're ready to go make a play, to go, you know, give your chance to win it. That's a big deal. So I thought there's a lot to be gained from today. It was ugly in some ways, but it was also excellent in some ways of resilience and these guys not backing down. We've had some games.
Stan Quinn talking about the win, celebrating another Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. He mentions the running game. So Jaden Daniels had 9 carries for 81 yards. Huge runs from Jaden. You talked about it. His ability to escape pressure and turn those into big plays is huge.
Were any of those runs designed? Not many.
I think one or two.
Okay, not many. Okay.
I remember Greg Olsen breaking down one with wham block.
Okay, all right. So maybe one or two.
One thing which surprised me, and this is not what I wanted to get into, I don't think the Eagles played with the spy. You know, a couple teams that have played Jaden and have limited his running have had a spy. Like, you, it didn't appear that they had somebody spying on Jaden Daniels throughout the game. Like, I'm thinking of the one run, actually the fourth down run. It looked like they had a lot of guys, you know, running deeper patterns, because mm-hmm. if he's going to have a completion for first down, it has to be 11 yards. and there was just a huge opening there in the middle. I don't think he was being spied on, but what I wanted to bring up is, this is your non-Jaden Daniels running yesterday. Brian Robinson, 10 carries, 24 yards. That's 2.4 yards a carry, 2 fumbles. His longest run, 6 yards. Chris Rodriguez, 3 carries for 5 yards. That's a 1.7 average. And Jerry McNichols, 2 carries for 3 yards. So combined, that's 15 carries from the running backs for a total of 32 yards. Barely 2 yards a pop. So they had no running game against this Philadelphia Eagles defense, and yet they were able to win. And you know what? That caller who brought up Luke McCaffrey, it's huge. I think it's a combination. It's Luke McCaffrey and the Eagles. I mean, nowadays you watch these games, most of these kickers, they're booming them out of the end zone or back of the end zone, and you don't even have a chance to kick. And I think Elliott doesn't have a great leg. They brought it up. He didn't even have a 50-yard field goal until last night.
Yeah.
And you're starting with great field position every one of these drives. It's crazy.
Yep. But like you said, Jaden running for 81. So they ended up averaging about 5 yards per carry because of his 81 yards, and he had a 29-yarder as his long. He was just such a weapon when the pocket broke down and you saw those openings. He just took advantage of it.
I wanted to shift the focus real quick, and we're going to have John Keim from ESPN.com in a bit, to Marshawn Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
So last week against the Saints, he debuts with the Washington Commanders. They don't even throw his way.
Right.
X-team, maybe you assume that they know that he can lock somebody down, or maybe it's, look, the Saints don't have that many weapons.
They don't have a
D.J. Brown. Combination factors, they're with their third-string quarterback, and then they went back to Rattler, second-string quarterback, whatever. Mm-hmm. Toss that game aside. So in this game, it appeared that Washington said, we're going to put Lattimore on A.J. Brown. He catches a touchdown on him on a slant. Mm-hmm. Early, it seemed like, hey, Marshawn Lattimore is not shutting down A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the pass interferences. A lot of callers, I'm sure, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, as we talk about Marshawn Lattimore. So a lot of callers are going to be upset by a couple of these calls.
Sure.
And they're debatable. But what was your impression of Lattimore?
Wasn't his greatest game, but he's also going against one of the best, you know, maybe a top three receiver, top four receiver in the league. All right, so Brown had 15 targets. He had 8 catches for 97 yards. He did have the touchdown. I thought the second pass interference of the back-to-backers was the worst of the two. I didn't think you should have flagged that. It's just the discretion of referees in the league. I mean, you could technically call a pass interference on every play because they're always touching each other down the sideline. They're just – it's impossible not to.
Yeah.
So that the first one I thought it was a legitimate call. The second one I thought it was a bad call. And how about the one call where they almost called the targeting – I can't remember what defensive back it was for Washington, but they ended up picking the flag up. Mm-hmm. That was an awful call as well, but they got it right because they picked the flag up. And then Lattimore, by the way, we haven't talked about this. He hurt his hamstring again.
Yeah.
Because he went out of the game. So we'll see how serious that is going forward. But
look, he's an upgrade.
He's definitely an upgrade, and I think he's going to make plays, but he's going against one of the best receivers. Again, now he's also going against Pickett, not Hurts or some of these other great quarterbacks. So we'll see how he plays, you know, in the playoffs. But A.J. Brown is a tough out.
Definitely a tough out. Our pal Zach Kruger came out to the holiday show at MGM National Harbor,
mm-hmm.
put out this tweet. You can follow him at @ZK_FFB. Fun fact, per PFF, from 2020 to 2021, now this is a couple years ago, Marshawn Lattimore allowed the most receiving touchdowns, 14, and third most receiving yards, 1,502, of any defender in the league. His 101.4 QBR allowed was the 13th highest amongst corners.
But he is an upgrade because you saw.
You wonder how good he is.
You saw what happened when he was out of the game with the hamstring. They put St. Juste in.
Yeah.
They targeted him, and they got a big play out of it.
I was watching the game in my basement with Kelsey, who's a huge Commanders fan, and
what did she say?
Oh, she hates St. Juste. Oh, I think most fans, like, she's a super passionate, like screaming every other play type of Commanders fan. Mm-hmm. So when St. Juste got juked.
Yep.
For that first down, right? Because if he tackles, I think it was A.J. Brown. If he tackles him, it's probably 4th and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he just jukes him. And she just went nuts.
Yeah. But again, he is an upgrade. I think we all agree there. He didn't have a great game. How many penalties did he have? 3 yesterday? I think he had 3 penalties and mm-hmm. then allowed the touchdown. But A.J. Brown inside the 15-yard line or 10-yard line, when he runs that little slant, I don't know if there's a DB in the league that can cover that. He's just really, really good. I mean, he's big and he's quick. He's got good hands. And, you know, again, Lattimore is an upgrade. But yesterday, we can't really judge him on yesterday because I think A.J. Brown would have killed most DBs.
Yeah, we're focusing on the offense. But, look, the defense deserves some credit. It's hard when it's 33 points. And I understand Kenny Pickett was in there. But they did make plays. Let's go to Deacon in D.C. Deacon, you're on with the Junks. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. I think the game was a wonderful game, good experience for those who watched the game yesterday. I think my chime in is the follow-through with Bobby Wagner over Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. I think that was a learning curve for a lot of the young players in today's game. Play to the whistle. Play through the whistle, because had he not engaged Saquon Barkley when he caught the ball on his back, Saquon was going to catch that ball. That was a catchable ball.
Yeah.
It's just that the disruption of Bobby Wagner brought all of that to nothing. And the thing about Lattimore is a physical baller. Mm-hmm. He balled out yesterday physically, guys. This is a man's game. This is a violent sport. And you got to punch people in the mouth. Now we got to start punching people in the mouth physically. Punching Reggie White type punching in the mouth stuff because we're going to the playoffs, dude. We're making a statement.
Barring a miracle, they're going to the playoffs. 800-636-1067 is the number. Coming up next, we'll talk to ESPN.com insider John Keim here on The Junkies.